Well, are you ready to receive more tonight? Well, I don't have anything about overflow on here tonight. I'm sorry. It's just what you're going to get. Then you can do whatever you want to with it. Amen. Father, I just thank you tonight, and I praise you, and I give you all honor and all glory. Father God, this is a hungry bunch of little sheep, and they want to eat and graze tonight at your table. They want all that you have, and you heard them say they want an overflow. So, Father God, fill them full and let it overflow. And Father God, let them leave here as lights, bright, bright lights in a dark, dark world. And Father God, we just thank you that soul after soul after soul is going to be affected by their lights. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to teach on super abundance anointing of His Holy Spirit oil. How about that? That was a mouthful, right? Larry said, did you already put your message in the black thing? I said, yeah, but you have to go get it because it's a long title. How many of you love the Lord tonight? Yes! How many of you know He has a great and a powerful, wonderful works for you to do? Yes! Aren't you glad you're just not here by mistake? Yes. I mean, on this earth by mistake. Aren't you glad that in heaven you sit down and talk to your Father and you and Him made plans to do a perfect work here on this earth? Then He sent you down and you messed it up. But now He's got it all. You got you on the right path again, right? I mean, that's what happened. You know, but that doesn't matter. You know, you're there. This is your time. This is a season. Amen. So don't worry about, you know, whenever I was born again, I said, God, I wasted all my life. He said, no, you didn't. I wanted you born at this given time. You know, born again at this given time. So whenever you came into the kingdom, that was your time to come into the kingdom. All right. God was preparing you with a whole lot of mess so you could have a testimony. I didn't know about what it amounts to. Come on. God is really good. He really is. All right, tonight God wants to give us the superabundance anointing of His Holy Spirit oil. That's what you're, keep that in your mind because that's what you're going to get. Isaiah 10:27 says, it shall come to pass in that day that His burden will be taken away from your shoulder and His yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. God has been working change in us. Change in our lifestyles, change in our attitudes, change in our relationships, and change in our ministries. This is what He's been working on. This change, and it has been a radical one, will affect everyone in the body of Christ to some degree. Some have embraced it, some hate it, some have submitted to it, and some have rebelled against it. No matter who you are, you cannot be neutral. All right? God has been confronting you and calling you. This is what we've been doing during this revival. What God's been doing during this revival. God asked us to prepare our hearts for changes that are coming to pass both in the church and in the world. As we did this, there has come a refining and a spiritual cleansing in our lives that has enabled us to behold God, to be changed from glory to glory, and to be entrusted with His power and ability. Let's read that again. As we did this, you allow God to change us. As we did this, there has come a refining and a spiritual cleansing in our lives that has enabled us to behold God, to be changed from glory to glory, and to be entrusted with His power and ability. Now, Malachi 3:3-6 tells us, He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Why? That they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Now the church as a whole is in a dire need for this fresh new anointing. When Jesus walked on the earth, he faced every temptation and experience that we did. Before he left, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. So he sent the Comforter, the one with the anointing. He is our companion, helper, advocate, friend, strength, and counselor. We need to be talking directly to the Holy Spirit, not just about him. He wants us to fellowship with him and share every part of our lives with him. We can invite him to counsel us, instruct us, and help us with every detail of our lives. We can. How many of you say, like I'll say that at night when I'm praying with my kids, I say, Holy Spirit, please come and take, I'll say, Isaiah in your arms and put him to sleep and hold him all night. You know? It brings peace to their soul. We can watch his faithfulness, experience his love and trust his wisdom as he works in our lives. King David prayed in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God. This is what we should all be praying. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now this is in the Old Testament. And they said the Holy Spirit wasn't until the New Testament. But David said, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. See what David said? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. David said, when you clean me up, get me all together, then I'll be able to minister for you through the Holy Spirit. Amen. A fresh anointing oil from heaven will restore your joy. If you have lost your peace, get a fresh touch of Holy Spirit oil. The anointing oil of heaven will heal the Holy Spirit, the anointing oil of heaven will heal you, spirit, soul, and body. It will work miracles in your home, in your job, and in your church. We need this that God wants to give us tonight. We really do, because we aren't seeing the miracles. Luke 5:36-39. Then he spoke a parable to them, Jesus did. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So what this is all about here is God had to get us, make us brand new wineskins so we could hold the new wine. Now when it says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. And we liked where we were at and we didn't want to change. That's what that's saying. Amen. But we do want what God had. Remember, God kept saying, don't want what you used to have, even though it was good. Don't want what you used to have, because what I have for ahead of you is so much greater. So each one of you in here tonight, so you might have had it good. That's okay. What you're going to have is much better than what you just left behind you. Jesus gave this example as a pattern of what Satan right now, and that Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're not going to take my breath. You foul spirit of hell that's coming here to kill, steal, and destroy, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus. We did not invite you in here, and you're going to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Everybody in this room is agreeing with me, one mind and one accord, that your assignment is broken right now. This message is going to go forth. This revival is going to take place tonight. And the anointing is going to be poured out upon these people that came here tonight to receive all that God has for them. Now you leave in the name of Jesus. You leave in the name of Jesus and don't look back. And Father God, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. You have to listen to our voice. You have to obey the children of God. And you will leave and take all your demons with you. In Jesus' holy mighty name, Father God, we thank you for it. We just thank you for it, Father. All right, I said Jesus gave this example as a pattern of what he wants to do in his church, you know, what we just read. Our dried and hardened hearts must be changed. All right? Into soft and pliable vessels, prepared to yield to his will and contain his new wine. Now I'm going to read that again. Jesus gave this example in Luke 5:36-39 as a pattern of what he wants to do in his church. Our dried and hardened hearts must be changed into soft and pliable vessels, prepared to yield to his will and contain his new wine. Come on. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of what the old me. Yeah, I really am. I want something new. You know, I want the thing that God wants to create. Not the thing that hard times has created. Right? David was one of the most anointed people mentioned in scriptures. He was a prophet, he was a king, and he was a psalmist. 2 Samuel 23:1 says, "Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse, thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel." First, David was anointed in the midst of his brethren. Then 1 Samuel 16:13 says, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." So the second thing, David was anointed as king over the house of Judah in 2 Samuel 2:4. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul." Third, David was anointed as king over all Israel in 2 Samuel 5:3. "Therefore all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." Now see, I read these scriptures before and I never realized all that. So I hope you realize it tonight if you didn't know it. Amen. In Psalm 92, verse 10 through 15, David listed seven things that the anointing will do for us. Number one, he said, "Mine eyes shall see." The anointing will give us a new vision. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." Many never reach their potential because they can't see God's dream for their life. You have to take what God has spoken to you and told you you're going to do. You have to write it down. That's why we had the vision of the church out there for a while. We wanted you to see what God is going to do with this church. And you have to hold those things close to your bosom and read them every day if you have to, so that the enemy can't come and steal your vision from you. Each one of you in here tonight, you have your own vision. You know, if you're going to start a church, don't come and ask me what you should do. That's not my vision. That's your vision. I have enough taking care of my vision. I mean, I'm not being ignorant, but that's true. You said God wanted you to start a church. I mean, so it's prophesied to you. And so then you're going to go do it. Don't come and ask me how to run it. Because God will give you step-by-step instruction. Amen. I lost my place. Is it mine ears? Number two, mine ears shall hear. The anointing will open your ears so you can hear God's voice. As children of God, we need to be led by the Spirit, not by your friends. Always remember that. You just, let the Spirit of God lead you. As children of God, we need to be led by the Spirit. Number three, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. A palm tree has deep roots that search out the water in desert places. If we will take the time to develop a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit, it will be like a well of water springing up to everlasting life. But we're going to have to do some work here, guys. It's just not going to jump on you. You're going to have to let God see that you mean business. That you're going to let him see that you really, truly want to do what he's called you forth to do. We need to let our roots grow deep in the soil of God's love. We need to let our roots grow deep in the soil of God's love. We need to understand that no pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Are you listening to this? We need to understand that no pit is so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Isaiah 12:3 says, therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. We are so busy believing that God is not a big enough God to go into that great big deep pit that we're in. We think that we're in there all by ourselves. And we think God doesn't care, but that's not true. God's always told me, I'm in the valley with you. And he's no respecter of persons. He tells every one of his children, I'm in this with you. It doesn't matter how hard it is, I'm here with you. And because I'm here with you, you're going to come out of it. He never leaves a job unfinished. If he allows you to go down into a pit, he's going to bring you back up out of the pit. All right? If he allows you to go walk through the valley, he's going to walk through the valley with you. If you're in a tunnel and he's going to say to you, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and you're going to say, where's the end of the tunnel? I don't see no light. He said, but the light is still there. Whether you see the light or not, there is a light at the end of your tunnel. In other words, your situation that you're in. We need to quit arguing with God, and we just need to start just trusting him. Don't you look, kids, they just come to you, and they don't worry about nothing, do they? They just flip around, you know. They're just so carefree. This is the way God wants us to be in the spirit realm. He just wants us to be carefree, trusting and believing him and knowing that you know that you know that you know that he is taking care of you and he has everything under control. And when he tells you to do something, he expects you to be obedient to do it. He doesn't expect you to say, you just do it. You have everything under control. You do it. No, that is the way it works. Amen. Number four, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Cedar, this is what David was saying. Cedars have a very long life. The scriptures are filled with principles that will bring us length of days, riches, and honor. Number five, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. It is God's desire that we should bring forth much fruit and that our fruit should remain. Are you listening? The blessings of God come when you are planted firmly in his habitation. The superabundance anointing of his Holy Spirit oil will cause us to flourish three ways. Number one, in giving us commitment to be where God wants us to be. And in equipping us to do what God has called us to do. And in revealing the truth about our situation so we won't believe a lie. Every one of us here tonight, when you get into a situation, you need to seek God's face until he talks to you about that situation. Then he tells you exactly what's going on in that situation, where it's at now and where it's going to end up at. You need to do that or you're going to lose heart, because in between you're going to see a whole lot of junk. But if you really get before God and ask him, he will tell you step-by-step detail of what's going on in these situations. You can go to him day by day. It's like that the other day when I said to him, Father, and then he said, Daughter, you always come and ask me the very same question, and the answer's still the same. But still, I'm, you know, still going, because it might have changed overnight. Well, I don't know, right? So I go every day and I ask God when I'm in a situation. Is it still the same? Has something changed, you know? Because I want to know and I want to be prepared for what's coming my way. I don't like surprises, you know? And each one of you in here tonight, you shouldn't be content just to sit there and just say, oh, well, whatever shall be. That's not true. It's not true. We need to get out of that mindset. Number six, they shall bring forth fruit in old age. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Many of God's servants received their promise late in life. Remember Abraham and Sarah. Remember Elizabeth. Caleb received the promised land when he was, 85 years old. But then they lived to be 300 and 400 then, didn't they? So I don't think that was too old. As God prospers us through the anointing, we will live longer and be more fruitful. Do you understand why we need all this anointing? We really do need this anointing. I think what we have is great, but I think we need fresh new oil with more power in it, more authority in it, more signs, wonders, and miracles in it. You know, I think God was sending a fire under me, trying to get me to realize, hey, you know, what you have is a little bit stale, and I'm trying to take you into something greater. And he finally got my attention. And now I'm trying to get your attention tonight. God has something so much more greater for each one of you. Don't be content to sit where you're at, please. You know, we're not near into heaven like we should be. Every day we should be crying out, God, more of you, and less of me. Number 7, David said, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. The anointing will bring forth purity in your life and will reveal that purity to the world. You know, as I was studying about this anointing, I got to thinking about when I was first born again in 77, but this happened to me about 79, I think. You know, I went to this church, and they had a prophet from Africa or someplace there, and he was preaching. Then afterwards, you could go to her home. Well, her church was in her home. After they ate and everything, he was allowed to come back. Because he was a prophet, he would give you a prophetic word. And when it was my turn to go in, he was writing feverishly on a tablet. And when he turned around, he said, "You're the woman. You're the woman." And I cannot remember to like me what he said. It was beautiful, whatever he said. And then that night, she called me at 12 o'clock and said, "You need to come over here because the prophet told me I had to anoint you." And that's when she took the whole bottle of olive oil and poured it all over me. She put a towel on me, but that didn't help too much. But I didn't even realize what she was doing at that point. But, you know, I felt like King David, you know, when the prophet went and anointed him. And then I don't even know what she told me that night because I was so new at this, you know. And I was just so in awe at somebody pouring a whole bottle of olive oil over my head at 12 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, that was God. She said that the prophet, before he left, and he had just left, I guess, told me to call you over here, and God was setting you apart. Isn't that neat? Yeah, I think that's neat. Now I'm seeking God's face. Say, what was that all about? I forgot. That's so long ago. I forgot. Wouldn't each one of you like God to just take a whole bottle of olive oil and anoint you? You're not our little dabber, do you? It was awesome. I couldn't hardly drive home that night. You know? Desire the rich things of God. I didn't desire, no, I didn't know anything, but God knew what he was going to do with me, and so he just did what he had to do. But I'm telling you, desire the rich things of God. Don't be content in little tiny things that you're getting. Want more of God. Just want more of God. All right? All right, faith through the anointing. In order to receive the superabundance anointing of the Holy Spirit, we must develop our faith in it and allow God to deal with those areas in us that would hinder its flow. So that's what I want you to do while you're listening tonight. I want you to just be telling God, whatever would hinder, take it away from me. You know, and just be expecting. The more we open ourselves to receive his instruction, the more he can lead us in the way we should go. Always remember, God is not looking for ability, but availability. How many of you know when you first got born again, you didn't have no ability to do nothing for God? Because you didn't know. You know, you just didn't know. But then as God worked with you and as God taught you, then you had some ability. But always remember, God is not looking for ability, but availability. He doesn't need perfect vessels. He needs willing vessels. Faith is essential. Faith has action and faith has a voice. When faith hears, it speaks. When faith sees, it takes immediate action. There are many things that will cause the anointing oil to leak out of our vessel. One is unbelief. Unbelief is not the same as doubt. Doubt doesn't believe what God has said because it doesn't know what he has said. But unbelief knows what God has said but refuses to believe. All right? Unbelief will keep us from entering our inheritance just as it did the children of Israel. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 19, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So if you have unbelief in your heart tonight, you know, no way God's ever going to anoint me with anything, then you're not going to receive. Well, I've been working, trying to get changed for 50 years now, and he still hadn't changed me. This isn't going to do anything for me. You won't receive, because that's unbelief. To have no faith, you know. So that's up to you. Do you want it or don't you want it? Do you believe God's going to do it, or do you believe he's not going to do it? You know, I'm standing here. I'm going to kick myself, because now I know why. I thought it was me. Now I know why I wanted to get a bigger bottle of oil. And some towels. But we might have to use a little dabble, do you, tonight. All right? All right, because of unbelief. A second hindrance to the anointing is stubbornness and rebellion. There's a lot of stubborn people in the body of Christ. And there's a lot of rebellion in the body of Christ. To refuse God's revealed will in your life or to openly reject his commands is simply pride and arrogance. To refuse God's revealed will in your life or to openly reject his commands is simply pride and arrogance. Even serving God in our way, our own way, is still rebellion. We cannot have our own version of serving God. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23 says, Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. You know, as I was reading a story about this today, you guys have gotten some really good prophecies in here. But they don't have to come to pass. God said about King Saul, I really am upset that I even made you king. And he took his kingdom from him and gave it to David. So don't sit here fall full of pride and think you're all that and then some, because God can withdraw with what he said. He does not have to bring. He tells you where he's going to take you. He tells you what he feels about you. And it's up to you then to let God be in control and let God take you to the place he told you he's going to do. That's why I don't let anybody tell me how to run the ministry. I don't care who you are. You are not going to tell me how to run the ministry, because you're not God. And God is the one that called me to do the ministry. And God is the one that constantly tells me how to run the ministry. He constantly tells me what to do. You know, and I'll say, okay, we're going to do this project. And okay, we're going to do that project. And I have the staff come in. He says, well, we're just too busy. God said to do it. I'll say, he said, do a webinar on the 12th. And it might be the 9th. We don't have enough time. Well, get it done. God, you do have the time. Or God wouldn't do that. He wouldn't, you know. So you're either working for God. See, what you want to do is do it on your own time. You want to do it your own way. You don't want to do it God's way. And what God is doing is he's checking your obedience. He's in your faithfulness. He's seeing, are you going to do what I ask you to do, even if you have to stay up all night and all day for the next 3 days? You know, nice doing it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people try to run God's show, and you can't run God's show. God is doing it. Lost my place. The Lord told Saul through the prophet to smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. If you read 1 Samuel 15, you'll read all that. But Saul had his own version of what God had told him. See, some of you have your own version because of what God told you, because that's the way you want to do it. You don't want to follow God. Because he feared the people and obeyed their voice, he created his own interpretation of God's word. So Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15, 17, so Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? You know, in other words, you weren't full of pride. And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? See, when you didn't have any pride in you, God came and made you, you were nobody, a nothing, but God came and anointed you king. And now all of a sudden you're all full of pride, all of a sudden you know how to run the show, and you know, God doesn't know what he's doing, so you're going to do it your way. You ought to go home and read that story. It's a really good story. Saul's anointing, that's where I'm at, right? Saul's anointing was removed because he assumed he knew the mind of the Lord rather than diligently inquiring of him. Thirdly, when we yield to sinful pleasures, a wall goes up between us and God. Our heart is not made to serve two masters. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." All right? We are confronted daily with decisions that influence our relationship with God. Any kind of persistent sin will slowly rob us of the anointing, and that is so true. Any kind of persistent sin will slowly rob us of the anointing. When we stay in God's presence, His fire will consume the chaff of fleshly desires and bring forth the works of God. If you don't believe that that's not true, look at the story of Samson. His anointing, you know, he sinned, but he got, shook himself, and it was still there. So he thought, cocky, you know, I can still do that and still have the anointing. And one day he shook himself, and it wasn't there. Didn't happen overnight. None of your anointings wane overnight. It takes time. And God's given you time to get it together, but whenever you don't, then all of a sudden the anointing's gone. Some people want the blessing of the Lord, but they love flirting with the world more than they love God. They want their flesh to be gratified before they will serve God. If we desire to reap from the Spirit, we must sow to the Spirit. Whatever we sow ourselves into is what we will reap. Are you all listening to this? Now remember, you're going to get anointed after this, so this is all to get you prepared, get your hearts prepared to receive the anointing. God explained it to me this way. My people cannot set their eyes totally upon kingdom things, and therefore they keep themselves bound to this earthly realm. My people cannot set their eyes totally upon kingdom things, and therefore they keep themselves bound to this earthly realm. We must develop a revelation of His love and love Him with the intensity with which He loves us. We must develop a revelation of His love and love Him with the intensity with which He loves us. That relationship of love will carry us through every valley of life. All right, you know, so I was really under the weather today with my heart, and I lay down to bed and I said, "God, I really believe for You to heal my heart." And He said, "Daughter, I love you. Don't ever think I don't love you just because you're going through this." He's probably saying the same thing to you. Don't ever think I don't love you just because I haven't given your breath back. It doesn't matter what experience you're going through. God still loves you. And there's a purpose for what He's letting you go through. Ethan, God still loves you and your wife, even though He didn't do the miracle that you wanted right now. You know. And some people say, "Well, God doesn't care about you." And some people believe that, but that's not true. God does love you. Maybe one day in heaven, no, we will. One day in heaven, we'll understand the whole story. But right now, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. I read something yesterday where some guy, he really gave a good, I don't think it was a word. I forgot what it was he was given. But at the last paragraph, he said, "We have the next 50 years to really work hard and get this done. And I don't care if it's 50 years. I don't care if it's 100 years. And because really, you know, whenever you have a little child and God prophesies to it, it's going to preach, it's going to do this, it's going to do that, and do that. And you look at this little two-year-old and say, "Well, if Jesus Christ is coming in the next 2 years, how's it going to do all this?" So we don't know when Jesus Christ is coming, and we really don't care. We're about the Father's business. And seeing this is the reason why people aren't doing kingdom business, because they're too concerned about when Jesus is coming. You know, it just doesn't matter. Well, and anyhow, I said, "Okay, God, so this guy's saying, and I know when you start putting that. All right, so I'm 80 now, and if that's 50, I said, "Wow, I'll be pretty old when you do the rapture. You better give me a lot of strength." Amen. Come on. My mind goes crazy sometimes. But he really had a good article, though, and I really forgot. I saved it, Benny. It was good. Where am I at? A fourth area hindering the anointing is a broken heart. So many members of the body of Christ have been hurt, mistreated, and taken advantage of. Amen? They have been hurt so deeply in the past that they can never risk loving again. If you are willing to give Jesus a chance, He knows how to totally heal your broken heart. He really does. He's good at that. You have to be willing to let go. And then just let Him have your heart. Let Him do what He has to do with it. That is what He is anointed to do. God has made special provision for the brokenhearted. He knows that broken people are afraid or ashamed to reach out to him, so he draws very near to them. In order to walk in the high calling of God for our lives, we must keep our oil thick, rich, and fresh. And I know that's why God, because I was going to teach on favor. Stayed up last night, got it all together. And got up at 4 o'clock. He said, no, that's not what I want you to do. So see, I didn't ask him. I just been wanting to teach on favor, so I thought, this is a good time to do that. So anyhow, see, that's, I was trying to do the Father's business. You know, I didn't seek his face. See, that's a good example. I didn't seek his face. How do you want to go? Where do you want to go Monday night, you know? How many of you do that? You know, don't look at me and say, oh. Because you do that too. You know. Well, I'll move to Delaware when I feel like it. I'll make trips back and forth. I'll make promises, but then I'll sit and think about it. And while you're doing all that, you know what? God will say, forget it. I got somebody else to take your place. I'm going to give somebody else the mantle I was going to give you. Are you hearing me? When God tells you to move, he means move. When he tells you to stay, he means stay. See, I want to move out of Delaware and he won't let me go. I could go. I had a pastor who said, if you come down, I'll set you up into Florida. But I'm trying to think of his name. The one that laughs all the time. Rodney Harrow Brown, he told me, he said, Barbara, if you'll come down here, I'll get you a building, you know, get you all set up, and you'll do good here. You aren't going to do anything in Delaware. And I said, no, God won't let me leave there. He said, I'd leave anyhow. That's why I'm still in this run-down little rinky-dinky building. Because God didn't tell me to move in here. The people did. I won't ever listen to y'all again. And you know what? They got me in here and then left me. Didn't know what they did. See, that's why you should never listen to people. Because when they tell you what to do and you listen to them, they will leave you. But if you listen to God and he tells you what to do, he's not going to leave you. He's going to stay with you, right there with you, because he called you into that thing. He's going to stay with you to the end. Are you listening? All right, I'm going to read this again. In order to walk in the high calling of God for our lives, we must keep our oil thick, rich, and fresh. Don't risk losing your soul or the souls of others. Get a new filling of his Holy Spirit oil. The oil you received 2 years ago, a month ago, or a day ago won't serve the purpose of today. God said every day is changing. Every day you need new, fresh oil. You need fresh oil from heaven today. If you are cranky around people, you need fresh oil. And I said, pour it on, Lord. Pour it on. Amen. I sent away and got some stuff that supposed to make your skin not be dry, and I forget what else it's supposed to do. So when I got it, it's really good for you. And so I didn't read the instructions, so I went and took the dropper and got a full and drank it. And so then last night, supposed to take the dropper and put it in your hands and rub it on your skin. It tasted good. I said, God, it can work inside out, right? See, that's the trouble. We don't always read the instructions for God. Right? I'm not going to tell about the skateboard. He's cracking up. Come on. All right, so tonight, little Isaiah was getting in my jewelry box, and I was in the bathroom combing my hair, and Gabriel yelled, Mama, he's in the jewelry box. So I come running out there, and I said, Isaiah, get out of my jewelry box. And I didn't see a truck in the middle of the floor. It was a truck with a bed in it. And my foot fit so perfectly in that bed. And it took me across the room. I'm grasping frantically for something to hold on to, but I'm in the middle of the room. I finally fell over back. One day, Gabriel asked me, Mom, have you ever, is it skateboarding? Have you? And I told him, I said, I never want to skateboard either. This is what I have to do. I break my neck. I have fun in life. Y'all have fun in life. I do have a good time with myself. lost my place again. Okay, I said if you're cranky, fine. Okay, you need fresh oil from heaven today. If you are cranky around people, you need fresh oil. Let God work the hardness out of your soul. You know, we learned about soul wounds. And so somewhere along the line, you have a wound in your soul that makes you cranky. And you need to get that taken care of. Let God soften your heart and let the miracle of a new anointing begin today. God wants a new... Oh, she took me seriously. You guys are in trouble. All right, God wants to give you a super abundance anointing of His Holy Spirit oil. And this is serious tonight. I know I've just been really happy today. Ever since I took my skateboard ride, that made me happy. First thing Larry said, Brother Alan would love to have a videotape that he'd watch it all day long. Somebody should have taught me how to put mother foot down and stop it, right? All right. This oil must be going to give you... I don't usually laugh like this. This oil must be going to give you joy, too. Amen. Now, you know, we can't play around with God no more. This is dead serious time. This is what God told me one time. You tell that person, this is where the rubber meets the road. And the guy said, he was backslid. He said, I know what that means, and I'm not ready. And he walked away from God. But you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. We need this anointing if we're going to carry the glory. And if you really are serious about carrying the glory, then you must take this anointing tonight. It's a super abundant anointing of His Holy Spirit oil.